celebrate the extraordinary women in your life and join Wind River Resort and Casino for a delicious Mother's Day brunch. Sunday, May 12th, seatings are available from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Enjoy a savory prime rib dinner with a wide variety of sides and desserts for only $45 plus fees per person. Every mom deserves a day as special as she is. All ages welcome, reservations required. For reservations or complete details, visit WindRiver.com or call 1-800-280-UWIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, good morning, Shasta County. Man,
every time I hear that song, it just makes me smile. I am Kevin Cry. This is my show. Of course, that was Billy Joel's My Life. And it is March 24th, 2024. We're broadcasting live down here in the heart of District 1, KCNR Studios, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You could also listen to us online at kcnr1460.com. Of course, all these radio shows are archived on that website, as well as my votekevincry.com website. You can always listen back and forward them to friends, share them, etc. Let's jump into the weather. We have a lot to cover today. One thing I will say, you might want to write this number down, 530-605-4567. Again, 530-605-4567. We will be taking callers today. This will be a chance or an opportunity for some of you to connect, ask some questions. We have a lot to get to, but I'm always going to start with the weather because this gives me the opportunity as well to know what the weather is going to be for the week from our greatest local meteorologist. Well, I'm not even going to say he's the greatest local. I mean, he's definitely the greatest local meteorologist we have, but I think he's the greatest meteorologist in the history of man. How's that? How's that for a claim, Mike Krueger? So that is Weather NorCal. This is from Mike Krueger. It won't be nearly as active today, but there may be a few stray showers this morning and into the early afternoon hours. Highs today will be in the low to mid-60s. Dry and mild to start your work week with highs in the mid to upper 60s Monday and Tuesday. The next round of rain arrives Wednesday, dropping to the upper 50s with snow levels starting off around 5,000 feet and dropping to 3,000 to 4,000 feet Thursday and Friday. Chances for rain start to diminish next Saturday, and the long-range forecast models have been very consistent, keeping it dry and mild on Easter Sunday. So that's fantastic. That's from Mike Krueger, the best there is, the best there was, the best that ever will be of weather people in the North States. Mike Krueger, thank you so much. So that's exciting that it's not going to be raining next weekend on Easter Sunday. The one thing I will say as well, this is, of course, baseball and track season. Well, baseball season never seems to end anymore. It seems like that's year-round now, but that's a whole other show probably in of itself. But I will say, for those people that are going to the track meets, I will say you get the crazy weather because you get absolutely rained on for a bit, and then you get absolutely sunburnt by the end of the season. So with that, we're going to jump in. So here's the lineup for the show today. I'm going to do some election update information just with a few of the my race, but then also some of the measures and propositions. Talk briefly about that. We're going to go into what's coming up at the next board meeting, which we do have another board meeting this Tuesday again. When I became chair, I said I wanted to meet pretty much every week. When you have a $600 million budget, give or take, I think it's important to meet as often as possible. So we have one this coming up Tuesday at 9 a.m., 1450 Court Street. I always encourage people to come out. And then I'll also be talking about some other local meetings that I've had and some other just political things that are happening in the area. So with that, again, 530-605-4567. I'm going to probably start taking calls at about quarter after, so in about 10, 15 minutes. But we're going to start with the Proposition 1, which is statewide. So we're going to keep it state to start, you know, and leave it to Sacramento to find a way to increase costs and cut vital programs and offer only unproven ideas. I mean, this is far from being a magic solution. Prop 1 is a multi-billion dollar disaster that will hurt the very people it claims to help. But, you know, and of course, who's left holding the bag? When this fails, it's going to be the taxpayers once again. It's insane. But what gives me hope is at least it wasn't a landslide, which I thought it would be. You know, when we talk about in Shasta County and local control, and that's one of the things I ran on, that's one of the things I believe the most is like, hey, you know, when you boil life down, like, let me do me. I will be responsible for myself. That's probably why I'm self-employed and pretty much always have been. I just want to be the hero or the goat of my own world. Well, I think that same thing in government in terms of Shasta County. Let Shasta County just do us. Let us be the best that we can be, and I think we're going to be just fine. Well, Prop 1, what it does is, of course, we send money to Sacramento, they send it back, and now we send it back to them again because the governor has basically said, we know what you guys need. And I think this is what's interesting about this, too, and this is something I'm going to talk about later, but the at-home committee that was started as an ad hoc committee where all of the local jurisdictions in terms of City of Anderson, City of Redding, City of Shasta Lake, and then the Board of Supervisors each put two elected officials forward to sit on this committee as well as a representative from Redding Rancheria. And out of this huge initiative that CSAC, which is the I'm drawing a blank on the actual acronym, but it's the association of all the counties, all 58 counties, and CSAC made a really big deal of this collaborative program. Shasta County is the only county in the state of California that has actually done what the program was intended, which is to get all the jurisdictions together and move the ball forward as it relates to homelessness. We did that. The rest of the state, all other 57 counties, the last update I had, which was about 3 weeks ago on this, we were still the only one. And that came from Graham, who is the president of CSAC. And that might have been about a month ago that he said that. But again, Prop 1, they're basically the state is saying we know better. So it looks like that is going to pass by a very narrow margin, but at least it wasn't a landslide. Going to Measure C, which was term limits. And I'll tell you what I loved about Measure C, or what I do love about it, is it's very simple. Do you want people to be career politicians in Shasta County or not? And it was a resoundingly, absolutely not. People said, do your two terms at the Board of Supervisors and get out. And so 77%, that nearly had 77%. And what was great about that, too, is, you know, when people talk about voter knowledge, term limits is really simple. It took like two sentences to explain to somebody. If somebody said, you know, calls a friend or calls a parent and says, hey, what do you think about Measure C? What do you vote? I'm like, oh, well, do you want people to be career politicians or not? And the people say no. And again, we've had some people in office, a couple of them, especially in District 5, who were phenomenal supervisors, and they were there well over two terms, but they did great work. And it wasn't just a power surge. And you know, Les Baugh probably could have run again and won again, but he chose not to because he felt his time was up. And that's what I think that's what really what we want is we just want when people know that people aren't going to be there two terms now. They got to get work done and they got to get out. So Measure C passes 77% nearly. Now Measure D, that's almost 56%. It's about 55 and I think 6/10. So we'll round that up because it's above 5, so 56%. When you drill down into Measure D, what's really interesting about that is, and since we're talking about District 5, I will tell you, District 5 was the only district that every single precinct voted yes on Measure C and D. And it was a resounding yes on Measure C and D across District 5. So if anybody ever says, you know, like, who's the most conservative, let's just say, I would say District 5 based on Measure C and D and how they passed. I mean, some of those precincts were 80-plus percent. And so anyway, if you look and you drill down into the precincts, District 1, where I am honored and fortunate to be representing District 1, 5 precincts in District 1 voted no on Measure D. Now, Measure D, if you don't know, and if you know, maybe you're late to the game or you didn't you're new here or you're listening from out of town, which I know we have a lot of listeners now that are out of town. And I appreciate all of you. But Measure D was about about Shasta County being a charter county. And really the only thing this was is it took the power of the governor, not just Gavin Newsom, but it took the power of any governor going forward to get to appoint a vacancy at the Board of Supervisors. So right now, for the rest of 2024. Should there be a vacancy, the governor gets to appoint. And in the actual law or code, it says shall appoint. It doesn't say can. It says shall appoint. So again, that's going to be a non-issue now because I believe I'm going to keep my seat. And unless there's something crazy wonky that happens at the 11th hour. But the Measure D looks like it's going to pass at 56%. So that was exciting, and I'm thankful for that, because what it does is, starting in January 1st of 2025, if there's a vacancy, there's three options. The board can collaborate and pick somebody because they have more knowledge locally than the governor does. But two, they can always just call for a special election, or they can just leave it vacant till the next election, and they can do that. Okay, so we actually have our first caller. So I'm gonna go ahead and take a caller right now. I haven't got. Let's go ahead. Caller, who is it? Is it Shelley?
Yeah, this is Shelley. Kevin, how are you?
Oh, hey, Shelley, how you doing?
I'm good. I just wanted to get in queue, but if you weren't done talking, I'm sorry.
No. This is fine. I said we're gonna take callers. Let's take some callers. What do you got, Shelley?
Well, I was wondering if I could talk about Eric Magrini.
Eric Magrini. I'll tell you what. Let me do this. Let me get through this election stuff, and then when we talk about board meetings, and I am going to be talking about C10, which is approve a $12 million for risk management. So, but could you call back in like 10 minutes?
Sure, absolutely.
All right. Thank you, Shelley. All right. So just again, for those of you, if you joined late, we are going to be taking callers 530-605-4567. So I'm going to jump into my race right now. So Prop 1, Measure C, Measure D, I think those were the three of the bigger ones on this one for me. And I think it says a lot about Shasta County and the different districts and the different precincts when you drill down in. Go on the Shasta County's website. You can just Google Shasta County elections. It'll come up. It'll say, you know, view contest detail. Click on the precincts and see what neighborhoods voted for what, because it'll give you a really, really good pulse on the people you're living around, or if you're ever looking to move, like what the feeling politically may be. And I hate to make it like that, but everything is so partisan now, and it's really a shame, but it is. Everything is so partisan, and it's not going back, I don't think. I think we're going to see in November, you know, what the next, you know, 10 years is going to look like based on November. Okay, so my race, you know, after running four campaigns over 28 months and three elections in 20 months, I've learned a ton. One saying in sales, you know, there's a term called ABC, which is always be closing. So always be closing when you're in sales, right? So that's pretty well known. Well, in politics, I came up with my own ABC, which I didn't do, which that ABC would be always be campaigning. Because when I first became supervisor-elect, you know, of course, there was a lot of I don't want to say armchair quarterbacks. I mean, some people were that came to me and with advice, or even people that were close to me throughout my campaigns, gave, you know, some great advice. But it was, you know, hey, when you first get in there, you know, you really just feel your way around. Don't do anything controversial. You know, 6 months, 12 months, get your feet wet, get a couple things done, keep your head down. And it's like, it's okay, you know, and I take all advice, and I think it's important. But one thing I won't do, never have done, is I'm not going to back down ever from what I feel convicted about. If it's in my heart, a lot of times I tend to wear that on my sleeve. And when I talk about always be campaigning, you know, some of the advice I received was, okay, now that you've been elected, now the key is to stay elected. And I thought that was the weirdest advice. But what I realize now is a lot of politicians hear that, and that's exactly what they do. They get in, and then they think, okay, I want to be here. Well, how does somebody know they want to stay there, you know, a second set of 4 years when they haven't even been there for 4 months? But now I really see, and I've looked back on many politicians' careers in Shasta County or even in other places, and how, you know, how they did stay in office or why they stayed in office. Not all, definitely not all, but some, and the decisions they made. Because when I first got elected, you know, I had a conversation with Supervisor Garmon when we started going down the road about hand counting, and he said, hey, if you get rid of those Dominion machines, they're going to recall you. And I just remember it was like, so? Like, I don't understand what you're saying. And I knew it was a possibility because they told me that early. But it's like, you know, if you don't vote your heart and you don't vote what you believe, then, you know, and I'm not talking this specifically to Tim, but I'm saying to anybody, it's like if you can look in the mirror and know that you're not being honest with yourself, you got a lot bigger issues. So for me, it's like, all right, buckle up. I guess here's where we're going. So every decision I've made, I've believed in it. I could probably be more diplomatic for sure, but this last drop was 172 votes, 172, and I increased my lead by 2 more votes. So as of right now, I'm up 48 votes. With what's crazy is people say, hey, like, is it over? Is it certified? You know, are we having a party? What's going on? It's like, well, you know, I've heard a week and a half ago, because the assistant clerk, I haven't heard from her in over, I don't know, 4 days, 4 or 5 days, I think. I was speaking to her, you know, once or twice a day early on, just getting the numbers directly from her myself, because before they were posted online or there were reports, I wanted to have my own data, because all those numbers I shared with you, I wanted them verified by the assistant clerk who was running the elections. So if I'm giving you guys totals of where I think I was going to be, and if you listen back on those shows, I was dead on accurate. And it wasn't just me. It was 2 or 3 other people that were running numbers, and I was, you know, putting them all together to see where I thought I would land. And we were exactly right. So a week ago, there was roughly 1,000 ballots left. Well, they just dropped, 700 or 800. So maybe that should say there would be 300 ballots left, ballpark. And, now I hear there's could be 800. So who knows? I mean, this is the problem with elections, especially in the state of California, and even just as much in Shasta County. Because if everybody doesn't have the same numbers and there's not a really clear understanding of where they come, this is what it creates. It creates all the conspiracy theorists. It creates all the hostility. It creates all the unknown. And I think there needs to be some massive overhaul in a PR approach to understanding. Because one thing is, when you're talking about races with like 900 or 1,000 votes, depending on what precincts you drop, are going to make a huge, huge difference. Or especially, as we know, in the votes that come in the very first drop in election night, which are all mail-in ballots. And actually, the majority of everything in Shasta County is a mail-in ballot. And again, if you want to be really specific and really very literal about it, almost everything is a mail-in ballot unless you go on election day and fill it out at the precinct or at the polling location. But that very first big drop, and then you see the other votes and how they even out, I mean, it's pretty easy to tell where these races go. So right now, I believe in the history of Shasta County, no race like mine has flipped this late. Just statistically, I didn't run the math on it because I don't know how many votes are left, but I'll just tell you, you know, I could go up a small handful of votes, or I could lose a very, very small handful of votes. When I say a small handful, I'm talking like, you know, 4 to 6 votes kind of thing. And if you look back at other races that are similar like this that are posted online, you'll see that data supported. Okay, so we're going to jump into the upcoming board meeting. This upcoming board meeting is It isn't a really, really packed one, but that's why we're having so many meetings, is because I want to be able to keep our agendas somewhat smaller. One thing you'll notice, or if you've been to the meetings, you'll notice public comment is slowly shifting to what I think is a very optimized, very maximized system for our staff. Because honestly, that is what we're really supposed to be doing, is we're supposed to be getting the work done at the county. And what drives me the most nuts of anything I've been doing in government is when you see, you know, not tens of thousands of dollars sitting in the board chambers listening to people in public comment, but let's just say thousands of dollars for sure in wages as people are waiting. So we've streamlined public comment to being able to get through it as quickly as possible. This last meeting, we got through it actually entirely before lunch, got the work done. So what we're going to do, the next change we're making, and it won't take effect until April, but if you want to speak in public comment very, very early in the meeting, you need to, by policy, and it's actually in our on our agendas, and it says it, to fill out a speaker request card. You can turn it in the night before or at the beginning of the meeting. What we don't do, though, a lot of times, is we don't actually enforce things that we already have. So it's kind of like, why have the law or why have the policy if you don't enforce it? So what we're going to do is, if you want to speak early in public comment, like at the very early part of the meeting, you'll turn it in the night before or prior to the meeting starting. So I'm giving the public plenty of opportunity to know how it's going to work going forward. Because if you want to speak and you get there and you say, hey, I want to speak on this, or, you know, one of the things that we hear people say, well, I wasn't going to speak, but now I'm going to. That's great. Those are going to be heard towards the end of the meeting after the people that have intentionally said, hey, I want to speak on a topic. I'm going to come in. I'm going to fill it out. I'm going to send it as the policy states. We're going to hear those. And then, because we want to hear every single person speak, but when you get to speak, that is what is the most important thing, because we are there as the Board of Supervisors to serve the community and get the work done that matters to you, which is being able to make sure our offices or our jail or our sheriff's department is operating at max capacity, or public works or resource management, making sure roads are taken care of, and all of the things that really, really move the needle in your guys' life, that needs to be the priority. And then so if people want to vent and say anything they want, that's great. We will be there forever. I mean, I'm the most available supervisor, I think, in the history of Shasta County in terms of how many coffees I do. And, I mean, I'm there every Friday at Kaleidoscope on Athens. People can come talk to me. I've been there for over 2 hours on some Fridays because there's so many people. And people have come from every single district. And so I'm available. I'll listen to you anytime. And I don't know about the other supervisors, but they're required to be there during the board meeting, so they'll have to listen. Okay, with that, we're going to take our first caller. Did you say, is Shelley back on? Okay, so we'll take Bruce. Bruce, are you there?
Yes, I am, Kevin. Just a quick question. I know they did a hand tally of the recall vote, too. Do you know the results of that? Did it change anything?
Bruce, you know, that's a great question. I have no idea. I mean, I've heard it was they added District 1 to the manual 1% tally. And then so, you know, some people said, well, that's really misleading because it's not really a 1% tally. They're recounting your whole entire race. I mean, at the end of the day, I think there's, I mean, I trust the process in terms of, let me say this, I trust a lot of the people. I think the process is very broken. And what's the most troubling for me as a candidate is I know pretty much what you know. As a candidate, and I've had three elections now in 20 months, and, you know, I know how drops go. I know how the precincts work. I know some of the processes there. But there's still so many question marks that it's just frustrating. But that's one of the things that I hope we can tackle here in the coming months. So I hear your question, but I don't know. I mean, it must.
Well, hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully you can ask her on Tuesday.
Yeah, well, I know that's going to be about the voter rolls, so we probably won't drill down too much into that, because this is never about, like, I don't want to ever put department heads, or especially Joanna, who right now is working on an election, which is really the main part of that job. So I don't want to, you know, I think what we want is we all just want to feel like our vote counts and it's all on the up and up. But that's okay.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, that's all that really matters. We all just want to know that it's fair. So
absolutely.
A lot of questions. We have another caller, Terry. Thank you, Bruce. Terry, are you there? Hello? Terry?
Hey, Kevin. How you doing?
Oh, hey, good.
Good. Just a quick question. You were saying that if you wanted to speak early at public comment because maybe you have to go to work or whatever the case may be, you said you could fill it out the night before. Is there some place online where people fill that out, or how do they do that the night before?
That's a great question. Thank you, Terry. So if you go to ShastaCounty.gov and you look where it says meetings and agendas, you can click on that, and there's a link that says public request card. But here's the other thing, too. You can email your supervisor and get in queue that way if you want. Your supervisor then just has to print that out and give it to the clerk, and the clerk will do the paperwork for you. I mean, this is really just about getting people in queue and making sure we stay as efficient as possible. But I think you know, filling it out the night before is the way to do it, because I get it. With parking the way it is, sometimes you might get there at 8:48, and then by the time you park and get inside, it's 9:01 and the meeting has started. So I would recommend people filling it out the night before to get that in. But yes, you can fill that out online, and you have about a couple more meetings before we even start that. I think April 2nd is when we talked about starting that, I believe. So thank you for the call.
You bet.
Okay. With that, what we're going to do is we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the upcoming board meeting with, as it relates to, we have a code of conduct on there, and then we have, if you look at C10, it says approve a $12 million allotment for risk management. So we'll talk a little bit about that, and we'll keep taking calls. If you want to call in, 530-605-4567. Again, 530-605-4567. We'll take a short break.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Just when you thought B&T Satellite only does satellite dishes, it's a fact B&T Satellite makes TV easy. And now Doug's making Starlink Internet easy too. Starlink Internet is often the only way to get connected, especially if you game, stream, or work from home. Most often, there's several devices connected to your internet at one time, and that requires a great internet connection. B&T Satellite is your choice for Starlink Internet, and now Starlink installation and setup. Call B&T Satellite for your internet installation today, 241-3474. You'll always get the best Dish TV and DirecTV packages from B&T Satellite. But did you know Doug can set up your smart home devices, including cameras? Just call Doug at B&T Satellite, 241-3474. Don't call the 800 number. Call B&T Satellite today, 241-3474. For your home custom theater installation, for TV wall mounts, smart home devices, and everything satellite and internet, Doug makes satellite easy. Doug makes internet easy. Doug makes TV easy. Call B&T Satellite, 241-3474.
Summer term course schedule is now available online for Shasta College. Priority registration will soon be starting, so beat the crowds. Contact a counselor if you need to, dust off the ed plan, and check out when your priority registration time is on your My Shasta or at www.shastacollege.edu. April 9th is for new and returning students.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website, havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Well, I'm coming back again. This is Kevin Cried. Sorry, this is, let me get a drink of water here. Of course, I've got the entire break and now my voice does that. Hold on one sec. All right, I'm Kevin Cried. This is my show, broadcasting live from KCNR downtown, District 1, the greatest district. And I know I say that and there's people in District 5 that cringe. I grew up in Anderson, love Anderson, California. I think it's a great place to call home. But so is everywhere in Shasta County, because if you're in Shasta County, you're in the club. So we're going to jump back to the board meeting or the board agenda that we have. C-10, excuse me, C-10 approve a $12 million, I'm going to read it actually, I'll tell you what. I'm going to read this, and again, if you haven't, if you don't get the agendas online, I would encourage you to do that because you can read the staff reports. But in support services, C-10 says approve a budget amendment to increase appropriations and revenues by $12 million in the risk management budget, BU-950, bargaining unit. So what I would tell you, and that requires a 4/5 vote. That's going to be, I'm sure, I'm sure that's going to be pulled by probably all five supervisors because you see something that says $12 million, and it's not because we don't understand it or what it is. It's really because we think the public should be made aware of that and not make it seem like something that's just getting slid through. Oh, I tell you what, we have a caller, so we're going to pause. We're going to pause C-10. We're going to come back to that. So, Shelly, are you there?
I am.
All right. Good morning, Shelly. Thank you. Thank you for calling back in. We're into the board agenda. So, anything that you want to share, go ahead.
All right. So, I heard you mention a little bit about the budget at the beginning of the show, and when I think of budget, the first thing that comes to mind is Eric Magrini. And I'm really struggling with why this isn't, more people aren't talking about it, because this is a big issue. We created a position for him, and, you know, he's got to be making 10 to 20, let's call it $15,000 a month. And I don't understand why the union people aren't mad about that when they come in and want their raises and stuff, which I'm not against that. But I just feel like with his salary, and he hasn't, I mean, as soon as he went on leave, he went to go work and do his realty stuff. And he, I don't really feel that he's done anything since he's been there. And with that salary, you could hire, you know, probably 2 to 3 more county employees. And it's just been really frustrating. I haven't been coming to meetings. I have come a couple times and brought it up when the union people were there and asking for their raises. And it just seems that everybody glazes it over. And I don't think it's getting enough coverage. And so I just think it's something that needs to be talked about and it needs to be addressed.
No, I understand that. And I and go ahead and stay on if you'd like. We don't have any other callers in queue. I think when that Record Searchlight article came out, and you could, you know, people could see that on Reading.com and yep. Look at the archives. But I think what you're referring to, just so people know, so we have a there's an employee that is the assistant CEO that evidently, I mean, I don't, this is a support services, Monica Fugit HR issue. So that's not something that I drill into personally and look at, but from what the article said is we have an employee who's employed full-time by the county, being paid full-time, but yet working a full-time job as a realtor at a local real estate office. So, you know, I don't know the intricacies of that. I know that as a person that is self-employed, that is in the private sector, it fries me when anybody, and I'm not talking about this individual personally, but when people not just know the system, because there's a lot of people that know the system, but they intentionally work the system, and they work it to their advantage. Now, I'm not talking about anybody in particular, but every man or woman has to look in the mirror and be able to say, you know, is what I'm doing honoring to my faith? Is what I'm doing honoring to my family? Is what I'm doing honoring to the community? And if people can honestly look in the mirror and convince themselves of that when 99.9% of the world would disagree, that's bizarre. That's crazy. Now, I'm not talking about any in particular person. I'm just saying, as anybody who has a an opportunity to bilk taxpayers, it's really sickening. So jumping back to what you're bringing up, like, I don't know, support services, I believe, is looking into it, and I'm sure that'll come back before the board. I have questions myself, but I will definitely save those for you know, when it comes before the board, because that's the, you know, I have to stay within the lanes of the jurisdiction I have. Was there anything else, Shelley?
Sure. No, that's good. I'm actually going to need to go because I'm at a poor show out of town, but I wanted to tune in because I do really enjoy your show, and I love how you're just open to everybody and available, and so I just wanted to call in because I haven't been going to any meetings, and I thought, well, thank you for the platform.
Yeah, you
so
bet.
I hope this gets looked into.
Okay. Thank you so much. Travel safe. All right. We have another caller. Nick, are you there? Nick, are you there?
I'm here.
All right.
Hey, Kevin, you know, I've attended most of the meetings here for the last year, and I see Tim Garman and Mary Rickert always complaining we're spending too much money on outside counsel on litigation and insinuating that maybe you're a big cause of it. Can you give us a rough idea, percentage-wise, maybe, of the litigation that is going on in Shasta County? What? How much of it has come forward since you joined the supervisors?
Gotcha. No, thank you so much, Nick. And, you know, one of the things I will say, because it is, most of the litigation and the advice we take as supervisors really comes from roughly 2 or 3 different firms that the county hires out
for advice in various capacities. So when you look at like C-10 approve a budget amendment to increase appropriations by revenues by $12 million in the risk management budget, and then you skip down to closed session. So if you skip down to closed session, which is R8, it says, R7, you see it says Donald Cook v. Shasta County, Jason Barnhart v. Shasta County, Crop Hauler v. Shasta County, and then R8 says significant exposure to litigation. I mean, most of the stuff that we are voting on right now as it relates to closed session and litigation happened years before Supervisor Kellstrom and I got there. So a lot of this is it predates us because this is and again, people know how to work the system, and people are getting help from people that know how to work the system. And you know, I don't want to say it's a Ponzi scheme, but this is where you know, accountability is definitely going to come. And I think with this board majority right now that's in place for the next 9 months, and I've already talked about bringing stuff out of closed session because I do. Like, I want to have that intervention with the county to say, hey, people of Shasta County, this is where you've been living. These are the people that are your neighbors. These are the people you see in Costco, and you give them a high five, and you think that they're these individuals that are just champions of the community, when that's not the case at all sometimes. And this isn't about scorched earth, but it's about I'm tired of people being able to sling lies that, you know, we've created chaos and we've wasted millions of dollars. None of that stuff is true. None of that stuff is true. And when we get to the budget hearings in June, people are going to see. But here's what we know. People, and I hate to make it a left or a right thing, but people, let's say, that maybe don't ideologically agree with some of us, or at least you and I, Nick, they get on their soapbox and they scream it so loud that they believe they can make people believe it's true. And we are not spending millions and millions and millions of dollars. There are people that are trying to make a cheap buck off of litigation. And, you know, I would rather oftentimes fight and roll the dice and put something before a judge that, you know, we believe we have very strong cases and we believe the morality and the ethics are important in the process, because I think our judicial system here locally appreciates there is a difference between ethical, moral, and legal. And when we're in the legal, when we're in the vein of being on the correct side legally, and we're on the correct side morally, I think that's a slam dunk, and I think we roll the dice when we can. So, sorry, that's a really long answer. Sorry, hey, but Nick, thank you for calling in. Do we have another caller? Yes, we do. Stones, you're on.
Hey, I'll go quickly since we're talking about Mr. McGreeny and just making sure people are not gaming the system. I'll email you the Mr. McGreeny's timesheets from September of 22 until January of 24. He went on leave shortly after, you know, the board majority turned when you started seating. And most of that, he went on paid leave most of 2023. But then in November of 23, he started burning vacation time. So here's my question to make sure the system's not being gamed. When he left the sheriff's office, was he fully cashed out on all of his leave balances, or did he transfer some of that over to his new position? The reason is he has at least 6 weeks of vacation he's burnt at the end of 23 and end of 24. And I would just like to make sure that his leave balances were not padded when he took on his new assistant role. Thank you, Kev, for the time.
Yeah, you bet. Well, what I won't discuss individuals' personnel matters. Again, sounds like you've FOIA'd certain documents. But again, what I would say is, because this is public knowledge, because I looked into a lot of Pat Minturn's, the deal Pat Minturn received when he became the interim CEO for a short time. And then of course we had another interim CEO, and who immediately went on vacation. So it's you know, I would tell you that the information's out there when you look at packages people received when they either A, left an office, moved jobs. All of it's public. And what you'll find is a lot of it also is very tied politically to in various capacities. So I'll leave it at that. Won't discuss individuals'
matters. But thank you for calling in. So, again, if you want to call in, 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. I will wrap up one thing about C10. There is a deep conviction with me when we talk about settling, because this is what I kind of relate it to a little bit, is when my wife and I begrudgingly made the half-hearted decision that we were going to move from Shasta County. Right before I attended the school walkout, then attended a board meeting, and then, of course, it changed the course of my life, and to some degree, Shasta County. When we made that decision to move to Tennessee, it was so difficult because we felt like we were running, but we didn't have a choice. So when you talk about settlements and you talk about having to pay people money, it's just like it is so hard because every fiber of my being always wants to fight and stand. And I'm not talking about physical fight. I'm talking about just standing up for your ideological beliefs and your convictions and say, this is what I believe and I have to stand for it, because if not me, who? And if not now, when? And that's what a lot of these settlements sometimes begin to feel like. It's like, you know, you don't want something to cost $50 million when it may only be able to cost $4 million. So that's the reality we live in. And that's why I want more of this stuff brought out, in public comment when we can, because I think the community just needs to know. That's why we have county council, and that's why we have great. I mean, this county council's office right now is killing it. They have done more work, faster work. The culture is so improved. And you know, there's a handful of attorneys in the office. It wouldn't be hard to find out who they are. I mean, buy these individuals cups of coffee, sit down, and say, hey, what's it been like for those that have been there the last 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 8 years? Ask them about the culture today versus how it was. This office is killing it now. They're doing things that used to take months, and they're doing them in weeks. And that's what it should be. I'm so excited. And here's the best part. Is when Joe Larmer starts, and he's going to start in a very short amount of time, he is going to be basically in full stride, rounding second when he gets there. Opposed to when he was hired, he was like in the batter's box with an 0-2 count. I mean, so think about the difference. He's like way behind in the count, you know, down to his final strike, and now in a short time, Alan Cox. I won't go name every single individual because I don't want to leave any out. But I will tell you, now Joe isn't behind in an 0-2 count. He's actually hit the ball in the gap, and he's rounding second full speed heading for third. And there's something that I like to call a three-legged stool. And if you have two strong legs of a stool, but a third is broken or shaky or loose, there's not a lot of confidence in there. And what you have to have in government, you have to have a three-legged stool. You have to have a board that gets along and can work together. You have to have a CEO, and you have to have a county council's office. You have to have those three legs of the stool. And we have those three legs of the stool right now. We're going to get so much work done. I don't think just this next 8 or 9 months. We're going to get this work done the next, you know, at least 2 years, because I know that people coming on who are going to have a fresh look, we're going to be able to keep this momentum going. But this board right now is going to continue to do the great work that we've started, and it's just going to keep getting better. Okay, with that, we're going to go to the code of conduct briefly. There's been two code of conducts brought forward. I sponsored one, and then Supervisor Garmin and Rickert sponsored the other. I would encourage individuals to look through those. You can see them online. You could look at the board report and or the staff reports, and then you'd be able to see the different language in each. So I won't go into a lot of detail on that right now. They are different, but mine aligns very much with what the employees have. Supervisor Garman and Rickert's are a little bit different. So, again, read up on those and please come speak. We are having a voter roll presentation as well this week, and that, I think that's R3, and that's going to be at the front half of the meeting. I wanted to do that. I wanted to put that up early so that way our assistant clerk, Joanna Francesca, would be able to get in and get out and not have kind of an ambiguous time of when she would actually be presenting and doing hers. So she was moved up just for the sake of her office and what she's doing. So that basically wraps up what we have for the agenda this Tuesday. Now, one thing I want to touch on, we had an at-home meeting this week, and I spoke to that a little bit earlier. And one of the things we voted on, because it's now it's subject to the Brown Act, so we had a vote about removing county and city employees from the actual board. So the board now, the board was made up of individuals like the CEO, Dave Rickert, or Barry Tippin, who's the city manager of Reading. They were on the board as well. And then I believe it was Barry Tippin of the city of Reading made a motion or put it forward to say, hey, let's take all of us off, because if we're all collaborating, we don't want to violate the Brown Act, which on the surface I think makes great sense. And I think that's important. So throughout the dialogue, as we went, we voted, and there was one dissenting vote, and that dissenting vote was Tanessa Audette, the mayor of the city of Reading. So after the meeting, Tanessa and I had a pretty lengthy conversation about how she felt about that, and really where she came to is she said, I just feel that what's going to happen now possibly is the city and the county people could work behind the scenes together to manipulate it maybe going a certain way. And I don't want to speak out of context of what exactly she meant, but we're going to bring that back and we're going to have a discussion with everybody up there, because I liked having them off because I wanted the voting power just to be for elected officials, because I think the public can't hold Barry Tippin or Jessica Lugo or the city manager of Anderson or the county CEO, the general public can't hold those individuals accountable for votes they make, but they can hold their elected officials accountable. So I said, hey, I think we should get all those individuals off, but I understand what Tanessa's saying as well. But then I said, this is why it's so important that the elected officials do the work to make sure that their jurisdictional lead, or I shouldn't say jurisdictional lead, but their staff lead. So if you're at the city of Reading, and right now we have Jack Munns and Tanessa Audette on that committee, that means Barry Tippin and Barry Tippin's entire staff should be doing exactly what the board, right, the at-home committee board, what they, or the committee, what they want. And it's really up to Tanessa and Jack, in this case, because they're the two elected officials on that committee, to make sure that they're carrying that out. And what happens is, and I know this, and this isn't a city of Reading thing, I think this is a city of anywhere thing, that in some places, the city or the county or whatever organization, the staff runs the show, and the elected official many times doesn't do the work of understanding what in the world is going on. So what they do is they just get out their rubber stamp and just approved, 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 and they just go with whatever the staff says instead of pushing back. And this is why, ladies and gentlemen, the Opportunity Center closed, is because for years, that came up and said, hey, there's a problem. Hey, there's a problem. Hey, there's a problem. And supervisors just kept rubber stamping that thing to the point where it comes on our plate and it is like, you know, DOA, it's dead on arrival. It's dead. And when a supervisor says they care so much about it but didn't do a darn thing for 7 years to save it, fries me. And this is why it's so important. We have to make sure as elected officials that whatever the will of this committee is, that our jurisdictional leads carry that out. That's why CEO Dave Rickert, I've been so impressed by. I mean, he's a 20-plus year elected official from the state of Illinois, right outside of Chicago. I mean, 22, 24 years he was an elected official of a jurisdiction that's triple the size of Shasta County as a treasurer. And yet he says, my job is to carry out the will of the board as fast, as legally and humanly possible. Like, that's his. So let's say the board majority someday flips. Let's say ideology-wise, it goes a different way. He's still going to do that. And that's what impressed me the most in Joe Larmer's interview, because his job, he said, was the exact thing. My job is not policy. My job is not politics. My job is to do the will of the board, whatever they want to do, as quickly as possible and absolute within the legal bounds of my license and within the state of California. And I love that, because that's all I want. I want employees, either in my private industry or at the county, that just say, hey, look, like, your job is not to interject your thoughts in terms of having a difference of opinion. And what we know, or what I know 100%, is people can slow walk stuff. And as I've looked back a little bit about how Costco ended up where it is opposed to Oasis, city staff completely killed that. So they went around what voters wanted. They went around what elected officials wanted. And they killed it. They killed it. And I mean, Costco should be out off of Oasis. And one thing I will say, as long as I'm a supervisor, we are not going to slow walk stuff. We are going to do stuff. We don't make knee-jerk decisions. I mean, we may vote on something. Something may come up. And people say, oh, you're making this rash, like the impact fees. I spent a long time on that. And let's remember, I'm one vote. Every supervisor up there is one vote. They have to have their process. And sometimes you have little time to do the work and to make a decision. And other times, you know, you may have months. But for me, again, this is always going to come down to the staff is there to serve the boards and the committees and the boards and the councils are there to serve the people. And I think the more people that wake up and understand what their elected officials and leaders are doing, the better we're going to be. Because my goal the next 2 years, assuming nothing becomes like one in a million and I'm still in my seat, I'm going to make sure that, like, what I want voter turnout to be at an all-time high every election going forward. I want to get so many people locally engaged in politics, and not politics about topics like abortion or border security, but I'm talking about stuff, and those are very important topics, don't get me wrong, but what are things within the jurisdiction of this board in Shasta County that we can get people interested in and get people to lean on their public officials and our city staff and our county leaders to make things actually move forward and happen. Like, there's a huge off of Buenaventura going into the Salt Creek subdivision. There's this massive dip. There's already been a couple wrecks there. Now there's a sign basically saying slow down. It was so badly botched, but yet it isn't being fixed. I think the public outcry should just be over the top. And I know that they're, quote unquote, you can't see my air quotes, but they're working on it and they're having to do some other work. The contractor blames, you know, this group blames the contractor. We have to get that particular thing fixed. And I think the only way it's going to get fixed any faster is for the community just to start going nuts about it. Because one thing I've learned is a lot of people buckle under public pressure. A lot of people do not like to be called out. A lot of people don't like confrontation. I mean, I don't like confrontation, but it's part of life. And especially if you're going to be in politics or you're going to work at a city or a county where you're dealing with tens or hundreds of millions of dollars of taxpayers' money, they want results. And I think that's why we even had a couple callers call in about an employee who seems to be bilking the system as per the Record Searchlight. I just think people want accountability, and I think that's important. So the last thing I'll say is there was a listening meeting there at the city. And what that was is the at-home committee really said this resource center, day center, whatever we're going to call it, in conjunction with the Good News Rescue Mission, has this money allocated. So now they're doing 4 listening sessions. There was, I don't know, I'm going to say maybe 20, maybe 30 people at that. I was the only elected official there. I will say, though, I only found out about it very last minute because Jonathan Anderson from the Good News Rescue Mission stopped to get coffee at Kaleidoscope on Friday on his way to the meeting, and I happened to be doing my every Friday, you know, coffee with Kevin from 8 to 9. And so he stopped in, so he said that's where he said he was headed. So when it was over, of course, I went over and listened. But –
you had two very, very, and we had to, there was a thing where it said atmosphere, and everyone got a little post-it note, and they wrote one or two words of what they wanted on that board. And it looks like we're going to be out of time, so I'm going to have to come back to this. But it was interesting because one person said they want nothing religious. I actually put on there salvation, and salvation wasn't just the salvation of coming to a relationship with Christ. It was salvation of like hope, and there was a better way or a new way. But there was a huge discussion about programs.